Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom Zeta, the podcast where you two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 63, and we'll be talking about episode 18 of Mobile Suit Gundam Zeta, Mirai Captured, in which we narrowly avoid yet more parental death. Come have a peer time and believe in the sign of Zeta. Anywhere. Anything can breathe. Every hole, ready to breathe. I don't
Hello,
like the words
and
I
welcome
use.
To Mobile Suit Fandom.
Listen.
I am Chris Foster, your first host.
And now he's depressed because he discovered that his friend is garbage. I'm Fuzzy and you already know my name, which sounds more ominous than it is. I mean, really, you should probably know Chris's name by now, too. Right?
No one should know my name. I'm not important.
You are 50% of this show and 100% of at least one other.
Yeah. My statement stands.
Listen here, you little shit.
Listen here, I am shit. You're right.
You stop that. I'm this is the power of positive thinking, featuring 80-foot-tall robots. I think I just explained, like, half of other mecha series, actually. Now that I think about it.
Hey!
Hey?
This is another kind of weird one?
Yeah!
I get, okay, so
Hong
I know
Kong's
what they're doing
a weird
now.
Arc.
Yeah, I know what they're doing now. This is just...
The four arc?
Well, yeah, no, not only that, like, they did this to a lesser extent in the last one, too, where they're like, what if we just put these fuckers in a city?
Right.
Because, like, we had Amuro meet Char.
Right.
It was also very car-centric.
Yes.
I know 4 isn't the Char of this one.
But she is the antagonist of the arc, at least.
Yeah. And so we have Camille meeting 4.
Mm-hmm.
In person and not knowing who each other are. So this is definitely just a straight mirror of Amuro and Char meeting. Not a straight mirror, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
They're doing that again. They're letting these two nerds meet. Also, I like 4.
She's interesting. Yeah.
I
still don't know what to make of her, but really like her fashion.
Her fashion, she's some good, like, weird neo-goth situation going on at some point.
Yeah, it's the off-the-shoulder sweater, that dress thing.
With the black-on-black-on-black underneath it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's a good look, actually.
I also just think... it's the same... We talked about this last one, but, the techno new type... What are they called?
Fuck. Cyber new type.
Cyber new types.
Techno new types. The fucking glow sticks.
The cyber new types are... interesting. They're something we haven't actually... I don't know what to expect from them. They're not like the normal antagonists, right?
Yeah.
And they're doing something weird with them, and I want to know what it is.
I'm also curious if, like, do they all have to be women? Because so far we're
so
two
far
for
both
two.
Of them women. Yeah.
That's also that'd also be a curious choice.
Yeah. They do both have very cool hair.
They do both have very cool hair, very cool
like
senses
that's a,
of fashion.
Yeah, I feel like that's a requirement.
Pretty cool suits, even though one of them blew up. I assume next episode, then this one's going to blow up too, I mean.
Oh, no.
Or maybe it won't blow up, because it is...
It has the word Gundam in it.
It does have A, the word Gundam in it, and B, the word Psycho in it. Which makes me feel like it's a little bit more than a 3-episode kind of situation.
This is also, like, I keep saying that it's the first time. It's only the second series, so I guess it's not that big of a deal. But, like, I It didn't occur to me that the bad guys could have things with the word Gundam in them, which doesn't make sense because they started off the bad guys having a thing with the word Gundam in it, but they it very quickly became Camille's suit.
Right.
So now we have, we're back to having more than one Gundam and a bad bad people having a Gundam.
Yes, a big Gundam all clad in black and red and angry. Does not make an appearance in this episode, however. We have a very different
boy. No, sir, not appearing in this film.
Sir, not... Just fucking Psycho Gundam over there. Ah, fuck. Yeah. So that's what happened last time, I guess.
Right.
So Psycho Gundam showed up.
We met Mirai, my wife.
Yeah. We're in Hong Kong. We get the title card. There's a previously on. There has been the last few times. I guess we're just doing previously ons now.
Yeah, so.
We open to the Badman and discover that Four has jacked a boat and gone AWOL because protagonists can't stop stealing ordnance from everyone. No one is safe from a fucking teenager with a will and a way.
Yeah.
Why do they keep leaving keys near shit? Why do we operate in a keyless society?
I do immediately, like, respect any teenager who just vehicle jacks a Gundam these days. Like, at first I was like, this is dumb. Why do you keep letting this happen? And now that it's happened so many times, I've come back around on it, and I'm like, fuck yeah, children, steal the shit from the military.
It's also the time we live in. We're real excited when children steal shit from the military these days.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating children steal shit from the military these
days. No, I'm advocating adults do it.
Yes. There we go.
So the Adumla is getting stuff from Luio. Fuck, I really should have paid attention any time they said that, because they said it multiple times.
It's like, I think the I is basically dropped. I think it's Luo and Co.
Luo and Co? Is, okay.
At least that's how I heard it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Luo and Co. I think it's Luo and Co.
Yeah. Camille and Amuro have fucked off.
Yes. turns out Amuro is over on the boat Mirai is currently living on. Remember last episode she said, I'm living on a boat in the harbor where a bunch of other refugees are. Which is real worrying the more you say it back. And the more I watch this, the more I'm like, man, what a year to be watching this. This is history. I'm watching you, you son of a bitch.
Fuzzy has his eye on you, history.
It's the other way around now, motherfucker.
Yeah, now
turn
the
it
eyes
around.
On the other face.
How does it feel?
Also, I've been saying her name wrong. It's Beltorchka or Beltorch. Yeah, because I'm thinking I'm putting an ick. So it's Beltorchka, not Beltorchka.
Beltorchika.
Beltorchika. I don't think so. I think they. Okay.
I think.
Fuck.
Beltorchik. Yeah, it's Beltorchika. Like,
it is Beltorchika. What the fuck was happening in this episode then?
I don't know.
Never mind. Whatever. Anyways, yeah. Beltorchika's there, and she's being Beltorchika.
Did someone like slip a Y into this version, and you just started getting confused?
In this episode, they dropped a syllable. It was like Beltorchika or something.
Everyone got lazy because it's a fucking mouthful.
And they say it every time. They don't give her a nickname.
Nope. It's why we call her Belle in this house.
Belle. So she's there and is, well, whatever.
Long she's story, mostly looking out the fucking harbor. Who gives a shit? The children are playing with a glider. That glider is actually important.
That glider is important. Which
is Chekhov's
I thought was
glider. Yeah,
that is. There's a lot of Chekhov stuff happening in these episodes.
Man, that glider is actually way more symbolic than.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, yeah, a lot of things happen with that glider.
Yeah.
But Mariah is like, it was your idea for me to go on the Adumla, wasn't it? And he's like, yeah, well, I thought, you know, you want to go to space.
You want
to
see your husband?
Bright's in space.
Yeah.
We're going to see Bright. Like, and she's like, yeah, that's cool. But also I have children.
And we saw how the other ones ended up.
Yeah, they ended up being raised by Fraubo.
Yes, they ended up being raised by Fraubo, and now one of them is also in space, Amuro.
Amuro.
With my husband. And Amuro. Char Aznible.
Aznible.
I don't think Mirai knows that yet, but I think no. I'm going to go ahead and headcanon that via new type bullshit. She gets the feeling.
Yeah.
In my head, Mirai knows everything. She just is too polite to bring it up. And also has two children to take care of. Fuck
she
this.
She does say she just wants more time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Chinmen? The daughter?
Chinmen?
Chinmen? Loses the glider. The glider goes off the boat.
Chin.
Which we should have thought was going to happen when you're playing with a glider on a boat.
On a fucking boat in the harbor.
Yeah. So it takes a dive.
Yep. Beltorchka comes over to Amuro and is like, we should go. We've been here a hot minute. They head downstairs, which meanwhile, Four has found the glider. We cut then over to the bad men who are like, fine, we'll chase after your expensive teenager. And so they launch four Aqua Hyzaks. And, apparently also the captain is named Ben Wooder, which is a shockingly normal name for Gundam.
Yeah, also...
Benjamin Wooder.
The way Four... I almost called her Quattro. The way Four... says water. It sounds like she's a like person from New Jersey trying to say water. Water.
Bradleyone.jpg.
Four finds the glider at the bottom of the thing.
Yes.
And here's Belle just complaining at Amuro, like, why is she so important? I know that voice is that what that, I'm sorry, I apologize, but also that's what she's fucking doing.
Is that what she sounds like in English?
No. Okay. She's just doing the thing. She's being the controlling girlfriend archetype.
Yeah, I've seen movies.
Yeah. And I don't like it.
You've seen movies.
Amuro can have women friends, you shit.
Impossible. It's the 80s. No one had friends of the opposite gender. Unless they had children. In which case, then it's alright, because they belong to someone else.
Oh, I remember where we are. Ben Wooder!
He also apparently hired some new guys who apparently...
From Hong Kong.
Yeah, they do apparently work for the Federation... But they're also subcontractors.
Yeah, they had a name for what they were. It was like, fuck.
I did hear like contractor somewhere in there, but I didn't. I don't remember the rest. Either way, they're in some gold lined outfits, and they just look like ominous hired help. They look like comic book goons. That's what 100% what they are. Ben Wooder hired more gang members. Like a jerk. Either way, they're happy to oblige and apparently impress the Titans, because that is something people want to do, apparently. I guess everyone needs a promotion, even in villain organizations.
Yeah. Also, they mention about how, like, if they can... They're actually happy to do this, because if they can get her and pull her out of Hong Kong, then fights won't happen in Hong Kong anymore.
Yep. Which, it's refreshing to see people actually care about their immediate location. Which, we get a few of this episode, including these two schmucks, and also Stephanie. And the mayor.
Hmm.
He doesn't make a visual appearance, but he... is implied.
Sir almost appearing in this film.
Sir could have appeared in this film if we were willing to pay just a little bit more money. Either way, we cut back over to Camille, who spots Four playing with the glider and is kind of taken by her. Just stares and is like, she looks like she's having fun.
Yep.
Also, it has that like very I would call it a shoujo moment where the background goes all sparkly behind her and she's like, ah. Well, she chases the glider down. It's kind of pretty, but also weird to just suddenly happen. Because I occasionally remember during this episode I'm watching Gundam.
Yeah.
I forget.
It's a weird fucking episode.
Yeah, sometimes I forget that I'm watching Gundam, but then I'm like, oh right, giant robots are actually a major function of this.
Mm-hmm. So, Four meets
You know, that's actually
Marat.
Kind of impressive when I say it out loud. Like, this show makes you forget we're here kind of for giant robots. That's how good the character drama is. That's impressive.
Uh-huh.
Continue.
So she meets Mirai and Chimin,
I think is right.
She meets Mirai and her daughter and gives her daughter
the glider
back. And is like, wow, this feels weird. And like, is that Amuro? What the fuck is Amuro? The Amuro? Was he in the Mark II? What's going on?
Camille then walks up to Amuro and Belle and is like, hey, you shits. You kind of just vanished without telling anyone. Go back home. And they're like, fair. And they do.
Fine. Well, they start to.
Camille goes to his car and Four decides to pop on by.
Hey, stranger, where you give me a ride?
Yeah, they did make eye contact earlier when Camille was just casually watching her.
And exchange words.
Yes.
They said something to each other, I think?
No, they didn't actually interact. They just made eye contact. Meaningful. Either way, she asks for a ride up to Old Town, and he's like, fuck it, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Didn't you have shit to do?
Yeah, but girl.
I can respect that, actually.
Yeah. So she asks him about that couple back there. Are you friends with that couple back there? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Don't really like them very much.
Yeah.
They babysit each other.
Yeah. He just super implies he doesn't like them. And she's like, I get you. And he's like, I bet you fucking do.
I like how just chill this scene Camille is. Camille's just like,
It's very funny because in this scenario, Camille's casual bitterness and childishness is actually super charming.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, because... but it plays to his favor.
Because it is kind of like, because he is kind of like, what the fuck is happening? What is going on? We're at war.
We are in the middle of something.
Ah, this is a good show.
And she, right?
So
she does have a really great, like, I fucking get you, dude, vibe. Yeah. I half expected, if this scene went on for, like, 10 minutes, they'd be high-fiving and shit, it'd be great.
Yeah, so a strange thing happened. I could tell they were, like, wanted to, like, as soon as I saw them, I'm like, oh, they're gonna try to make me ship Camille and Four, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna refuse. And then, like, the more it went on, I'm like, all right, but what if they kissed, though?
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, it suffers from new type speed.
Yeah.
Because when you're psychically connected, you kind of... Dates go faster.
Yeah.
Dates go faster when you can literally read each other's mind and connect Vulcan style.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a move.
Uh-huh.
You would think it was a move. It's not.
No.
I did Google it.
Camille and Four introduce themselves to each other and start chatting. They introduce each other and what? So good.
One quick thing that I noticed earlier, Dr. Cornell, apparently Four is a doctor. Like, has the degree. And is... Like, in addition to the Murasame the lab is named after, Four also is a doctor.
Dope. I did not catch that.
But at least based on some grammar I heard, unless I completely misunderstood it. Anyway,
it's like doctor for Murasame or Masam.
There's a chance that I completely missaw and misheard. But
she's a doc.
Sure.
She has a doctorate now.
Bam.
It might be in psychic bullshit, but it's a doctorate.
I wish I had a doctorate in psychic bullshit. God, that'd be dank.
I like that Camille doesn't. It doesn't. I think he says he likes her name or whatever. Or just like
he says like a regular comment. He says it's an unusual name, but yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, and she says, you don't like your name at all, do you? And he just kind of like looks at her.
Well, at first she says that he has a kind name, and he just side-eyes her, and yeah, she goes, you don't like your name, do you? You fucking idiot. And he's like, how do you fucking know? And it's like,
I think I know what it is. They're both shitty teens. They're both just being shitty teens, and I kind of like it. I like them being shitty teens together.
That's 100% of the reason.
Just shitty, jaded teens.
It's the same reason.
How old is she?
I still think she is like 18 at this time, but like none. She is a super psychic. Like she also could have been grown out of a vat. I don't know. I haven't Googled it yet because I'm afraid I'll find out when she dies.
Oh God!
I'm assuming it's a win. She's a villain, so I'm guessing it's a win. But there's a chance.
Char made it.
Char did make it. He made it pretty far. He will continue to make it for a while yet.
Mirai gets kidnapped.
Yeah, so we, after these two, you know, have this brief chat, which we're honestly not sure if it's psychic or just empathy, Mirai stares at a picture of her family, which I did pause and just stare at for like 45 seconds, and I'm not kidding, I really did just stare at this picture of the Bright family, because it was really cute, and it touched my little heartstrings, like a child on a zither. don't give children access to zithers. I feel like that's one of the more dangerous stringed instruments a child can be around.
Probably.
It's just something about the zither that screams dangerous to me.
Danger, danger!
Mirai opens the door and finds one of the gold-lined guys there who busts into the room, and we just get the still shot of this basket she was carrying dropping to the floor as they push their way into the room, and they kidnap everyone, and she screams, whole nine yards. This is a stage where if you've been paying attention, you might get really fucking worried, because so far we are 0-3 on kidnapped family members.
Yeah.
On kidnapped non-combat family members surviving that.
Good news is Mirai is not non-combat. She's pretending to be, but isn't.
Yes, in the third act of this episode, she busts out her laser sword. Does a backflip. Just stabs Ben Wooter. Chokes him with a chain.
Okay, there we go. I'm back
into the Sarlacc
pit. I was like, oh, I don't really want her to have a laser sword. I like her being like a kind of a mundane badass. And you're like, oh, she's Princess Leia. Never mind. I'm back.
I thought you'd like that. I thought I could bring you around.
So we cut back to Mr. Wooter. on his ship.
In my head, I mispronounced that as Mr. Wooper, and I'm just imagining the rest of this show with a Wooper playing the role of the captain, as in the Pokemon.
Perfect.
Yeah, just a little Wooper being like, Wooper. We have to kill the hostages. It's terrifying. Don't let Woopers commit war crimes. Pokemon Company, please write that into your official Pokemon Bible. Don't let Woopers commit war crimes. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Mime is a war crime, though, so I guess he's fine.
Mr. Mime is Ash's dad.
So he talks about his plan to draw out for and destroy the Aeyug together.
Yes.
Like a big family.
As father and son. Wait.
Yeah.
yeah, he's a big bastard. So we cut over to Four, who says to Camille's face that she'll follow him wherever he goes, even if it's to following that guy from earlier. And Camille just looks at her confused for a second before going, "You're an Amuro Ray fan?" And she's like, "What if I was?" And
he's like, "I'd be pretty jealous."
"I'd be pretty jealous of you." And she laughs at this. I'm not 100% I get the joke, but it's a very cute moment.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
I do just like these two hanging out. Like,
yeah.
Can I get the whole hour long drive? Like,
yeah. It'd be nice.
Yeah, I just like that, like, to have on in the background. Just look over at it sometimes. Like one of the Harry Potter pictures. Man.
I think this is also where, because she was like, I don't actually want to go here. Are you going to buy me a coffee? And he's like, what? And she's like, well, let's just go anywhere. I'll just go wherever you want to go. And he's like, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is happening? And she just leans on him and goes, I'm actually been kind of bullshitting you. I'm searching for someone. And he's like, whoa, who are you searching for? I'm searching for someone who understands me. And he goes,
yeah.
Huh. And we cut away.
Yeah.
Yeah, she also just leans on him after he throws it in park and then keeps going for a while. It's, I don't know if the 80s were handsier or what, but man, people are just handsier in this fucking cartoon. I don't know what's up.
There's a lot of face touching and leaning and shit going on.
Yeah.
No one ever touched me ever.
The thought occurs to me of, like, I wish people were just this casually handsy, but also...
I wish maybe, like, a couple people were. There's a lot of people I wish were not. There's a lot of people who just, like, as emphasis, like, to put their hands on my shoulder and, like, leave it there for a long time. And I don't want that.
I guess, yes, it is a multi-part thing of I wish touch was less weird in general, because that would lower it amongst my compatriots, but also it would make those experiences less uncomfortable.
Yeah, I guess.
And would also make you more comfortable going, are you done with this hand on my shoulder, or is this just comfortable here at this stage? Because if you're stuck and not sure when the time was, I understand the moment passed and you missed the train, but another train is not coming. Just start sprinting along the track, please.
There's also like a point of a hug where it's like, this hug has gone on too long. How do I get out of this hug?
Do you want to know my secret?
What?
Give him a squeeze, a little bit of a lift, put him back down, then it's over.
Good.
That is the get out of jail free card. That one's for free for the rest of you too. Now, don't both of you do it at the same time. If two of you have met, if two Tominos have met in real life and you both do that to each other, you will just throw your feet out. Both of your feet out, and you'll end up landing on your knees. Which, yeah, that's just gonna hurt real fucking bad. Don't do that. So Ben Wooter comes over the radio and informs the good people of Hong Kong that he's going to kill all of them if the Automla doesn't surrender.
Yeah, it's not a villain move at all.
It's not a big villain mustachio move at all.
He says that they're going to,
fire at Hong Kong. And kill the hostages.
He's gonna kill the hostages if they attack them.
Oh yes, you're right. The entire city of Hong Kong is hostage to the situation, but also Mirai is a hostage because double hostage. You know, that's actually pretty smart. That's a lot of hostage. I will say that I don't think Gundam will give credence to a normal, random, off-screen person this much for the rest of the program. my source for that, next episode, a lot of the city's on fire. A lot.
Spoiler.
Most. I'm sorry.
Most of it?
A lot of orange. Reminded me a lot of Garma.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And you can tell which part of Garma.
Mm-hmm.
The explosion. Amuro fucks off immediately after he hearing this.
He tells Beltorchica, hey, get in touch with the Adumla. I'm outie. And she's like, what? And he's like, I said I'm outie and ran away.
And he is, in fact, outie.
He's fucking outie 5000.
Yes. Camille, meanwhile, almost kills a child in a crosswalk. Four asks Camille some pointed questions about his background. You know, are you with the Aeug? It happens I am.
Yeah, he says on accident.
It happens, so. Are you a pilot?
Yes, by accident.
Are you a pilot? Yeah. The chances may be.
Probably.
Like, just say yes, you fucking international man of dipshit. I love this, actually. I really like this interaction. Is very good.
Yeah, she hops out of it. She's like, I gotta bail. Bye, motherfucker. And dips. And he's like, yeah, I probably need to take care of some shit, too.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't bring a random lady into an active war zone. Audi! I hope we meet again. And she's like,
she does. Yeah. She does. Yeah, they says, do you think we'll meet again? And she says, I hope so, I think.
It's the other way around. But yes. You are completely right on the line. Just switch characters.
And she books it back to her tail and is like, yo, I don't like how Mortar is handling this. This is some bullshit.
Hey, why are we taking hostages of civilians?
Hey, what the fuck, bro?
So, I'm happy to report, Four, at this point in the series, has a sense of honor. That's neat.
That's a little bit. Well, she's not a Titan. She's a civilian.
A cyber
Well, we don't know.
She is. I mean, she's clearly meant to be brainwashed by the Federation. Whether she is a willful Nazi or not, we'll see. I don't think so, based on contextual evidence. There is one thing that we forgot about earlier in this episode. As Cornell is yelling at Four during her escape, she goes, doing this, you'll never get your memories back this way.
Right! Holy shit, I can't believe we almost...
Yeah, almost blew over that like a... like Camille through a small child.
Holy shit!
Almost.
Camille. Yeah, it's a very apropos reference. Yeah. So apparently someone has taken Four's memories hostage.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure if they sippied them out of her or if
she's definitely been like has some brain problems, which we've established.
Problems is a polite way of putting it. Yeah.
If we've missed it or if it happened later, but she does say like being away from what's her name, Cornell.
That's later. We'll get to it.
Okay, never mind. So she is like, "You suck. The Titans suck. I'm getting out of here." And fucking bails.
Leaves. Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes like, "You're just gonna fucking ditch us, the tail." And she's like, "Yeah, cause I had a plan. In case you didn't notice, I kept an Aeug pilot busy the whole fucking time you were following me, asshat." To which he goes, that guy was a pilot? He was like 16. To which she goes, I know, right? It's terrifying what happens these days in terrible moments of war. Mm-hmm. They don't say that, but
say
that.
Hey, war bad.
War bad. Hey, kids, don't do a war.
Don't do war.
The more you know.
Steph has a very big, like, we'll just let them kill her. Let them kill the hostages.
Steph is like, there is one woman and two, 3-year-old children on that boat? Hold on, let me carry the 2 times 8. 6 million people in this city!
Yeah. A lot of them are children and women.
Half of them, statistically.
Yeah. 51% are women. Fuck. But yeah, Hayato is like, no. We got a plan. It's fine.
we have a great plan.
But Belle calls Hayato, and Hayato's like, did you fucking call me on a landline?
We have a great plan. Did you call me on a landline, secret agent Beltorchica last name? Meanwhile, Stephanie is like, I'm actually surrounded by incompetence.
Yeah. I like that she, like, they were talking on the phone for a bit, and then it feels like she was just in the next room and came over.
I think what I kind of realized is during this conversation, Hayato is like, okay, I get what you're saying. Come to the supply base. Turns out the supply base belongs to Luio and Co. So I think she was in the foreman's office on the grounds of supply base and just walked over.
Yeah.
So I think, well, not the next room, within
Very
a
close.
Block. Yeah, yeah, within like 500 yards.
Because they were talking at the beginning of the scene, and by the end of this scene, she showed up.
Yes. She was like, I don't like what you're doing. I'm coming over. Smash cut to her coming over. Yeah, so she boards and just yells at Hayato, basically. He is visibly worried about the rest of the episode going terribly. Whether that is via the fourth wall or not, we'll see. Ciao.
So, there it is. Hi. So, Mike B has the first, once again, the first impression of, I can't wait for this one because I know part of it, the MSM-03C Hi-GOG. H-Y, not H-I. Hi-GOG. Oh!
I think I know this boy.
Hachimachi. This is a Final Fantasy VII, like, emerald weapon nonsense.
Does this guy cut? No? Wow. This guy looks a lot like a fella I know is coming up soon. That
Ruby weapon. I got it wrong. It's hold on.
A what?
Ruby weapon. Hold on.
Like from Ruby with a W?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Just give me 5 fucking seconds, buddy.
Man, this thing looks a lot like a Quibbly.
It's this.
Operating mouse slightly difficult in wrist brace. Oh, that is the tiniest fucking image, but yeah, you are right.
Yep, got long arms. That's Ruby Weapon.
Ruby Weapon Final Fantasy. Ruby Weapon. Oh, from Final Fantasy VII. God, yeah, that does look a lot like it.
Yep.
Oh, a super boss even. La-di-da.
Yeah.
Look at you having enough knowledge of a super boss to recognize it offhand.
I played a fuckload of Final Fantasy VII.
Holy shit, did you know they made a figure of it?
Oh god. Oh
it's
god.
It's very textury. Have fun with going to the wiki and looking up that.
Anyways.
Hi-GOG. I like him.
So I guess I like him. He's, he definitely is.
He's very ball-shaped.
Yeah. Let me see here. Let me get back to him.
I feel like this would be a ripe suit to make into another Ball Gundam type of situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I don't... Like, the defining feature on it is the shoulders and the arms, and those are the parts I don't like. I like the middle bit and the stompy bits, but...
Yeah, you don't like the extra long arms and the extraneous pauldrons.
They're like batwing pauldrons, which I'm not... I don't know.
Coward.
I don't know. Don't coward me, motherfucker. This is about opinions. This is don't fucking shame me.
kink shaming.
Piece of shit. God damn it. Second part of Mike B's Cha. Given the choice, do you spend a week being Char's wingman or a week mining for ammo on the white base while it's under attack? Catch me in those goddamn ammo mines.
I'm willing to take the risk.
Nope.
And here we have the fundamental difference between your two co-hosts.
One of us doesn't want to die.
Oh, Lord. No, I would absolutely take the wingman gig. I think I could live the whole week. I think I could make the week. I know that's ballsy of me to say.
No, I think you're fucked because you're going to try to paint your goddamn mech gold and red, and Char's going to court-martial you and put you in front of a firing squad.
I mean, stealing his style. So I'm assuming this is 0079, right? And I end up with Char there just at some other point during the 1 year war. I would be willing to bet there are other points within the 1 year war where Char gets involved in fights and produces another co-badass. Because badasses is like, it's a narrative conceit where you will be drawn to other ones, right? So inevitably a path will cross and the complex web we weave will get intermingled, right? I think I could last a week. I think I could successfully pull off some shit via genre awareness.
Okay.
Fundamentally, well, I think I can use genre awareness.
I know that I can survive in the ammo mines because the white base never goes down.
Also true. Objectively.
Well, I guess it does at the end.
But, yes, but...
Oh, shit. What if I was in the ammo mines at the end? Oh, no.
I mean, it does... Everyone supposedly gets off, so...
Okay, cool. Cool. Also, Mike B ends the email giving us shit about keeping forgetting what year it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, okay, cool.
That's fair. We deserve it.
You use your email time for what you want.
Yeah. With that,
are you ready for this?
I am opening a bunch of things and a bunch of tabs, so I'm...
Alolan. Roland Roy and Rain Mirage have teamed up to... I guess Rain Mirage gave Alolan the idea. I don't know how much they had hand in making all of these up, because they're all fake.
This particular one I do have a special love for, and I wouldn't be surprised if Rain was like, man, I bet Fuzzy would just love eating shit on this. I do. So whoever had the... Thank you. Thank you, Roy, especially for putting all of this together, because this is a good fucking list. That is actually very difficult. Today, a Gion-themed fact or fiction.
There's no way these are all... There's no way... Fuzzy, there's no way. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. For those of you at home, I am looking at a list of 11 mobile suits that are all Gion themed.
All of them Gion themed. Chris, offhand, before like getting into the nitty gritty, how many do you think are fake? Like, just throw a percentage out.
100%. All of them. Like, okay, I'm just looking at them.
You think this is obscene. Ludicrous.
Okay, so I know that one's fake.
No, don't get specific yet. Let's just get into it.
That one's... Okay, hold on. That one's definitely fake. I think one of them is real.
Okay, all right. Number one. The AMX 104 GGR-GIA.
Fake. It's fake. That's fake. That's not a real thing.
Fake. 100% real. 100% fake. Excuse me. It's fiction. You think bullshit. This couldn't possibly be an extant thing.
No, definitely not.
The AMX 104 GGR-GIA is very real.
Dope. What the fuck?
Yeah, that is sexy, isn't it?
Holy shit.
Hot damn.
That's... It's got shields on its shoulders that have rockets on them.
That suit fucks.
That suit fucks a lot.
That suit fucks.
Actually, catch that suit not fucking, and you won a prize.
Yeah. yeah, this guy's from Gundam Build Fighters.
If you catch the Gyagya not fucking, it's contractually obligated to fuck you.
Congratulations. It's your time. You get to fuck the Gyagya. Which, it is a passionate, but unselfish lover.
Okay.
Massive dick. Anyway, so... huge pingus. Next up, the AMX-20A Gyangaigar.
Okay, this one I know is fake because I know Gyangaigar is a thing. I don't know what that thing is, but it's a thing I have heard, and I know it's an anime thing, so this is fake.
I am proud of you for knowing that Gyangaigar is a thing, functionally. You are correct, the Gyangaigar is fake.
Damn. I was like, what the fuck?
However, there is a non-zero possibility that this could exist. So, Gyangaigar is a super robot show.
Yeah.
I believe its premise is it's a super robot made out of a bunch of municipal things that super combine into a giant robot. Like I think its arms are like a monorail train. Like that type of shit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Got snake arms.
Sort of, yeah. Hands come out of the bullet train nose, but like its wrist cuff is the bullet train nose, that type of shit. It's also got like a drill hand. It's a cool suit, or it's a cool mech, actually. But it and Gundam both coexist in the Super Robot Wars series of games, which are a JRPG, a turn-based JRPG. So there's a non-zero chance that Gyangaigar could exist.
Okay, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't yet.
I got one right.
Yes, you are half right so far. Next up, the YMS-15SS Gyangaigar.
Fake. It's fake. They're all fake.
It's fake.
It's fake.
It's fake. It can't possibly be real. It's
it's so not fake.
It's absolutely
so not
real.
God damn it.
It's just a golden Gyan with two shields, fundamentally, and like an extra missile option. It appears in a Build Fighter series, but it is real. Is it this schmuck? Yeah, it's piloted by this schmuck who, he makes a lot of Gyan suits. It's just nothing, he makes nothing but Gyans.
Which is fair.
Which is fair. Absolutely 100%. Next up. The MS-15C Gyan Cannon.
See, so here's where we're at the point where, like, this one sounds real, so it's fake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this one's fake.
You think this one's fake?
This is fake.
It's 100% real, you fool.
It doesn't have a shield. It's not a Gyan. This is fake.
This is a Gyan, but it's got cannons and it's got
the
sword.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a shield.
3D
it's fake.
Modeled
this isn't real.
Once even. It even had a physical model once because Gieren's Greed.
Gieren's
is wild.
Greed video game.
I need to find and play the shit out of Gieren's Greed, because
this is
it's
fake.
Wild.
This one doesn't count. I get this one right. It doesn't have a shield. It's not a Gyan.
It is 100% a Gyan. It's got Gyan in the title.
Mm-mm.
Next up, the AMX.
I'm counting that as a win. I'm counting that as a win.
You got it wrong.
Got it right. I'm still 50-50. I'm still 50-50.
You're not even close, mathematically. AMX-1 Gyanpocalypse.
It's fake! If this one's real, I'm gonna cry. This is fake.
Fake? What if I told you that there was a Gyan with a spiked shoulder pad and a mohawk?
It's fake! It can't be real. If this is real, I quit the podcast.
It's 100% fake, yeah.
Okay. That was a close one.
Yeah, it really was. I was a little panicked for a second. I started believing it, but no, it's 100% fake. It's fiction. It's all bullshit. Next up, the YMS-15E Gyan Eos.
This one's difficult.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick to my guns here. This one's fake.
Foolishness, Dante. This is actually one up there for me. I'm real into this guy. So, for those of you at home, the YMS...
Oh, it's in your color scheme!
First of all, yeah. Yeah.
This one has spiked shoulder pads and a mohawk!
That too. I don't know.
And pointy boots!
Yeah, I love
and a staff. Is that a staff with a scope on it? Or no, it's a staff with a gun on it.
I think it's a gun, but also a sword.
And that shield
is fucking
dope,
though.
It's got
a beam bayonet. Oh, fuck me.
And honestly, this is a very good gun. This is a very good gun. Oh, I'm gonna go ahead.
Fuck. I'm into that.
The Return of Johnny Ridden.
That's also, it's from MSVR, which is one of those Mobile Suit Variation side things, and I guess they turned it into a mango at one point.
Cool.
Hell yeah, need to read that at some point. Next up, Hachimachi. The YMS-15KRTO2 Gyonselot.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like Alolan knows me well enough to know this is bait for me because I want this to be real.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's real. I think I'm being baited here, but I want it. I want it to be real.
Chris, what if I told you that all your dreams could come the fuck true? Congratulations, you are too correct now.
No.
This is real.
It's not, though. Oh, it does have a shield. Never mind. Yeah, I'm back.
It's got a shield, and it's got a fucking staff. It's got a trident thing.
It's got a lance. It's got a medieval helmet and medieval helmets on its knees.
I need you to go down and check out its, look, like, whole shield.
Fuzzy,
cheese,
we've known each other a long time, but you gotta ask nicer if you want me to go down. I'm just...
Christopher,
what am I
go down to the images and look at its fucking beam lance.
I found an image where it has a fucking cape.
It does. A beam cape.
What the fuck is this? What is this from? When do we get to this?
In 80 years, when your
God
son
has
graduated college and gone to medical school to take care of his dipshit uncle by friendship and his dad. Who are podcasters?
Gundam Build
still.
Fighters, Tri Island Wars.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's
okay. This is beautiful.
I want to build this suit so bad.
This might be my. I'm not crazy about its shield, but
I'm crazy about everything else going.
Literally
on.
Everything else. It's got a beam cape.
Yeah, it does. Fuck, it's really good. Yeah,
I'm so happy.
It's so happy fucking good.
It's also got a weird thing on its back. Is that a cannon?
I think that's it. Where the cape come out.
Fuck yeah.
So kind
God
of.
Damn.
It is kind of a cannon because it's where the cape come out.
The cape come out the cannon.
The cape come out that cannon. Next up.
I'm so happy.
I just want to make sure that image is what I thought it was. On one of these other ones. So the... 0-0 Gyanyan.
Fake.
Instantly.
Fake.
No
0-0 is fake. That's
zero,
fake.
Yeah? You think that the ultimate Gyan would not be called the Gyanyan?
I don't mind. Gyanyan's fine, but the O-O's is just a fucking Gur face, so...
Well, no, it's 0-0.
Yeah. Look at that fucking Gur face.
I mean, yeah, it is kind of a Gur face, but also... I need you to understand that we're going to find, like, 6 mobile suits with that call sign throughout our time with Gundam, and
Do they all look like Gurr? Because if not, I'm out.
There's going to be a lot of Gurr face, yeah.
A lot of Gurr face. Alright. Fake.
You are correct. It is fake.
Fuck yeah. Chuck's going to fake me out. You're supposed to be on my team, Fuzzy.
Am I?
Shit.
I'm the quiz master.
No one's ever on
scenario.
My fucking team.
Yeah. No.
I I recently started a fucking, so I'm putting together a Urban Shadows campaign, and I got like four of my friends, or people I thought were my friends. Turns out they're all assholes who team up against me at the drop of a goddamn hat, and are just mean, and I'm fine, it's fine. What's it, the MS-15+
Gyan-EX. I would just this like to note, I love conceptually the idea of an EX Gyan.
This is another one where, like, all of it is coming together to make me think it's real, but I've still, it's just, we've already said so many yeses, the rest of them have to, there can't be this many Gyans.
There can't be this many Gyans, he said, the fool who was wrong.
God damn it.
The MS-15+ Gyan EX is Gyan, but pointy, and if you scroll down to its model kit version,
and red. It's char.
It's a charish Gyan that existed near Jupiter. I can't believe that Zeon just has my number and calls me in the middle of the night like a fucking ghost from my past. I love the fuck out of this thing. It's so sharp.
It's like, very pointy.
It's like someone Italian sports card a Gyan.
Yep.
Which I'm way into. All right, last but certainly not least, the HG-01_HyperGyanco.
As much as I hate to do this, you did skip the one before it, but HyperGyanco is fake.
You think HyperGyanco is fake?
HyperGyanco is fake.
Interesting. I'm actually going to go back before revealing that one, because I want one to be the punctuation. What about the MS-15OG Gyanoron? You think Gyanoron is fake?
Gyanoron's fake.
Gyanoron's 100% fake?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
150% fake.
Yeah, Gyanoron's 100%. Yeah, it's fake.
Good.
HG-01 HyperGyanco, you think is fake?
It's fake.
No one would name something HyperGyanco.
No one would ever do that. Why would you do that? That's foolish.
Alolan, I want you to know that if I'm dead because I hit enter just now, it's on you.
This is not... No! No! Okay. First things first.
Do you want to know the worst part? You want to know the worst part? You can buy this right now.
I am done.
You can buy this right now.
I'm not.
I can go down the road right now and buy this for you and bring it to your house. And he's gone. I'm talking to no one. I'm actually hoping he has wireless headphones, because there's another one. In fact, there are two more. Chris, you want to hear something worse?
No.
Tough shit. There are two more of these.
Why are you... This is the same thing.
No, click the picture. Click the link. Oh. It'll bring you to a particular picture.
Oh my god, no. There's my little bear guy.
There are three total of these based on the three girls from Build Fighters. It's real. It's too late. It's here. It exists. No. You're looking at it. These are physical models you can buy. No. They've been animated.
No.
You can watch them in full animation. There's an entire short about them in universe where they are physical beings with emotive faces that rescue a village of bear guys, several of whom were crucified.
No.
In front of them. And I'm not kidding. I literally watched a bear guy get crucified on plastic runners.
No.
Yes. All of this is real.
No.
You cannot escape.
No.
It's here. It's ready.
No.
We come back.
Cha.
His heart's not even in it anymore. He's crestfallen. He's broken. Would it make you feel better if, at the very least, these are the only mobile suits in Gundam I know about that have boobs?
No.
That's fair. So, we come back to Amuro pulling up and being like, "You slim, thick fuck, get down here," to Ben Wooter. Mr. Wooter obliges to this challenge. The challenge actually being a hostage swap of Amuro will swap himself for Mirai and the kids.
Yeah.
Wooter presumes to agree and lets Amuro on, kicks the shit out of him a little bit. Hayato gets a call from the mayor. Steph answers and is like, "I promise everything will be okay and we'll get the Admala to leave. That'll be the solution."
Adumla.
Adumla, thank you.
You're fine.
Wooter says hi to Amuro and then just kicks the shit out of him.
Uh-huh.
Gives him also this whole "I'm just following orders" shtick, which, you know, Nazis, you've seen TV. Yep.
That's how Nazis do.
Yeah.
This, okay, hold on, real quick.
Yeah.
I know we need to hurry up, like, because we're running out of time, but also I'm gonna be the shithead on this scene. Mirai gets in a little dinghy.
Yeah.
And is like, "Punch it, Chewy." And the dinghy
Hathaway
goes,
hits the accelerator.
And the dinghy motor revs up and they're like, "We're not moving anywhere." And the camera zooms back to show a Hijack just underneath the water holding onto the bottom of it.
Yep.
Trolling them from beneath the waves.
Yep. Get trolled.
It's so fucking stupid.
Get trolled, Mirai Yashima.
It's so dumb.
Get fucking wrecked with this funny gamer moment. Oh, just get fucking trolled.
Anyways,
turns
Camille...
out, haha, transparent glass.
Yeah.
I just making people like suddenly stuck in place in Minecraft is a terrible admin power, but very funny when applied suddenly and without any sort of warning. So. Go ahead.
Camille notices the Adumla, and that Steph's plan didn't work. I don't remember this scene. Four is considering her reasons for joining the operation.
So Four is going to another car, I think, to actually just steal it.
Hijack it?
Yeah.
Hijack it.
But then she hears the radio announcement of... Camille learns that Steph's plan didn't work because Wooter comes back over and is like, "We're going to kill all four hostages if the Doomla tries that shit."
Like, four hostages?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Four hears this over an unrelated radio while some people run in the background, including, remember that girl with the leopard bikini from the anime in the 80s? She passes by in the background, and I'm not kidding. I wouldn't be surprised if the other five people who passed by also were references. I just didn't catch them. It's just she had very specific hair that I recognized and was like, "Wait a minute.
Is it like the big green hair leopard thing?"
Yeah, her name is Lum Invader, or Loom Invader. I don't know. I haven't actually seen that anime.
I haven't either. I'm just aware of her. She has a big fan base.
Yeah, I also only know about... I only know about her in reference to, like, the ED she was in, because I think the anime she's a part of, she's in one of the endings, and someone posted a really high-resolution version of that ending sequence. People like to just watch it sometimes. Because fair. Anime girls. Yeah. I'd much rather like it if exactly that, but the Hyakushiki instead. So... apparently Four also has something important still at the lab, which is her memories, as we learned earlier, or we think it's implied. Anyway, Camille manages to get the Adumla's attention by flashing his high beams at him.
He does,
and proceeds to line himself up with the harbor, and then Hayata's like, "Just launch a dodai." So a dodai with a Nemo on it launches, and Camille just jumps the car
into
the harbor.
Camille rips this tiny car. Here's my thing. Camille just stole a rental.
Camille just stole a rental.
Camille just fucking stole a rental. Because we know that's not their car. There are no cars on the Adumla.
Well, we haven't seen any cars. We don't know.
There are no car. There are no tiny efficiency cars on the Adumla.
What if that's the only car they could fit on the Adumla? So they have to make sure to pick it back up. Okay, to be fair, that car could have been in the background of any scene we have seen, and we wouldn't have known better. That thing is the size of my desk.
It's so tiny.
Literally, two of my desks side by side is bigger in mass and volume than the car.
I'm definitely going with Camille stole a fucking...
Oh, absolutely.
This stole a rental.
Yeah, this... episode is rife with, you know, I just now realized, so earlier Thor steals a speedboat, and then later Amuro steals the exact same model of speedboat, and wouldn't it just be the funniest fucking thing?
Just keep stealing the same speedboat.
Just four parked it, it was just like, fuck this speedboat, left, not planning on returning to this particular speedboat, and Amuro was just like,
ooh, a speedboat.
Oh, hey, my face worked in this one, neat. Like, because, you know, idiots keep having this keyless entry thing, as we've seen with Camille at the start. Don't do that. Don't put your ID, don't link your ID to the OmniNet and use that as keys for every car. That's how you end up with... If ride-sharing scooters have taught me anything, that's how you end up with a smart car in the bottom of a fucking lake. Uh-huh. Don't do that.
Do not.
Have keys.
Hayato and Sev tell Camille what's up, and Camille's like, all right, I'm just gonna get naked real quick.
Yep.
Put on this suit.
Camille does remark that the only way they could possibly win this via fighting is with a perfect plan.
Yeah.
Hayato goes, I just might have one. Steph uses the doubt option in her conversation wheel. She also goes like, I can't authorize this if Camille isn't 100% confident. To which Camille responds, ma'am, with all due respect, you have no authority here.
Which is like, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm joking, it's fine, it's cool.
I'm joking, but not really. You don't actually have authority here. You have dudes with fists. We have mobile suits.
Also, Camille barely recognizes the authority of people who are in charge of him.
Yes, Camille is a feral psychic child with several kilotons of ordnance available to him.
Yeah, we get a weird... it's very weird. He's like, I'm getting a weird sense of kindness from Steph.
Yes.
Unlike that four lady from earlier.
Yeah, he compares the vibe he got off Four to what he's getting off Steph, and most of what he's getting off Steph is a lady, kind, genuinely, and a sense of strength are the three big points he hits in that order. Uh-huh. Also, the background goes shoujo again for some reason. Either way, Kay loads up, pants on now, and gets ready for his cue. Also remarks that, oh no, I don't think I've ever tested this underwater properly. Fuck it. And jumps in.
Yeah, he's like, this has definitely never been tested underwater.
I don't know if any of the gaskets are actually going to hold. Anyway, jumps in the ocean.
He does just do it. It's very fun.
Yeah. It all goes quiet because, you know, I love when music builds and then someone goes underwater and the music just cuts out. Good shit.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never guess what happens here. As exactly that happens, Camille goes underwater, starts walking around. He eventually detects the four Hyzaks and boosts on over. Wooter, meanwhile, sees the... One more time for me, Chris.
Wooter sees...
Audumla.
Audumla.
Audumla. I think the H just fucks me over real bad. Audumla. Wooter sees the Audumla, we're raising a white flag, and goes, oh shit, they're surprisingly compliant. How nice. Amuro is shocked that they actually showed up, but he gives that sly smile that shows that he trusts that there is a plan. Camille detects those Zacks, wonders if these four is really it. Speaking of the number four, she's getting a real bad headache and laments having to keep going back to Cornell to make them stop. All of this happening while she's trying to hijack a boat.
Yep.
If only she had that other boat she hijacked and Amuro didn't steal it. I don't know what this headache is up with either. I've got a half guess on that she doesn't know how to deal with, you know, sensing pain around her. That might have something to do with it, but it also might just be that being a cyber new type is an untested thing that turns you into a feral space psychic. So,
yeah,
you know, that might have a few problems when it fucks with your brain. Either way, Mirai comforts the screaming children and assures them the Aeyug will save the day. Hayato is confident with Camille, and Wooter is glad the Sudori, which is apparently the name of the evil Adumla, won't have to fight today. Camille fucks up and knocks over a boulder, immediately giving his way...
It's a fucking hilarious...
Moment
where the Isaacs under the water go, ooh?
Yeah, it's, and like and all four of them just drop from the surface. Yeah. Like,
what's that? Hello.
I also noticed that they're little torpedo guns, real cute. I like those. They've got like this orange tip too. That it's fun. It's a fun little torpedo pistol. Torpedo pistols aside, they train all of them.
Torpedo. Shit. No, it's bad.
Torpedo. That sounds... You can only say it in a Russian accent.
That's... Torpedo.
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 Torpedo sounds... That sounds like something a bunch of Marines made up as a game to pee on your superior officer. Like, that's what that sounds like. Torpedo. That's as good as I've got. The Sudori does not come. Wooter is happy about this. And then fighting properly happens as Camille just boosts out of the water and fucking blasts a guy. Unfortunately, blasting out of the water also knocks Hathaway out of the boat, where he very promptly starts drowning because he is 6 years old. Camille kills that one Hayzak. Amuro takes
He also counts them.
He does count them.
It's fucking dark.
Well, I mean, he's got four targets.
Yeah.
Might as well keep track.
Yeah, also, consider...
He previously had trouble with a bunch of identical with a pair of identical targets that he needed to keep track of. So maybe he's just actually learning. Want to hit you with that read?
Maybe. I think it's just the calm tone he does. He counts them with.
Yeah.
Just like ticking them off mentally. Like
that's a one.
That's two. A three.
That's basically how it goes, actually. you've done the work for me, thank you. Just assume that every time a Hayzak appears, that happens.
Yeah, he fucks him up real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking terrifying, considering the Mark II has never been tested underwater, and these are specifically underwater mech suits.
I want to hit you with yet another. They go into the water, an area where... you have 8 degrees of freedom of movement, like space. They played themselves.
Yeah.
They fought Camille on his home turf.
His home turf of water space.
Or simulacrum of his home turf.
Yeah. Amuro fucking just bails it into the water?
Yeah. Oh,
well, so,
he kicks a dude in the face and then jumps into the water.
Oh, yeah. Because the ship gets... the evil Doom, wherever they're at.
Well, they're not on the evil Adumla at this stage. Yeah. They're on this black boat evil thing. Yacht.
It gets rocked for a second and like everybody goes, oh, and like Amuro with his hands cuffed behind his back fucking... capoeiros a dude and then jumps into the fucking water and just swims with his legs still tied behind his back.
The feral twink
legs,
rides again.
Feet. Yeah. Feet? I said feet. Arms. Hands. Finger mitts.
Limbs.
So he just swims using his feet.
Yeah.
When the Hyzak started fighting Camille, they let go of the little dinghy, and the dinghy goes out of fucking control. There's a bunch of waves, and Hathaway gets knocked out of the boat.
Yep.
And starts to drown.
Yep.
Amuro fucking jumps up on the Camille, is like, cut my fucking hand bindings, please. So she. My wife pulls out a fucking knife.
Yes. Cuts Amuro free, who immediately jumps back into the water to save the drowning child, because protagonist. Meanwhile, Camille is still fighting the two remaining Zacks, manages to take out the third one, realizes these suits are very good at being aquatic, and then Cornell, inside the evil yacht, goes... Fuck this, actually, and just steals the boat and turns it the fuck around to leave. It's also at this stage that Wooter realizes, oh, what happened to your seasickness, ma'am? To which she goes, what the hell are you talking about? It was an act. Why was she pretending to have seasickness?
I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, Hayato gets ready to launch suits. Hathaway gets brought up, and Mirai starts giving him CPR as Amuro jumps into the pilot seat of this boat. Camille does manage to lure one of the suits up and out of the water, to which he deletes it with extreme prejudice. Four, nearby, like literally within the shockwave of the explosion distance, ignores all of this chaos to get a drink from the water fountain. There's then this, like, drop-dead gorgeous shot of the Mark II cutting one of the last aquatic Hyzak's arm off as it, like, tries to aim a shot at it, at the Mark II. He cuts it off and then pulls back. We get the shonen anime screaming, and then he gives it the stab right through the cockpit. And, like, all of this is animated super smooth. It is crisp. It also, the sword changes length several times in more than, like, just a foreshortening way. So I'm wondering if just a function of Gundams is, you know, that lightsaber form where they just turn it off and on repeatedly?
Yeah.
For great effect?
Yeah.
I think Gundams just do that. Like, automatically. Which is kind of sick. I'm also really hoping for one of those pass the blade situations of, like, a beam lock, but then
yeah,
Mark II just turns off his beam and zip right through. Surprise, motherfucker, you've been cut in half. Bam. Is that Zelda?
It is
Zelda. Why is she doing Zelda?
I don't know. I was trying to do a slow, sad song. And I didn't think it was
like... Yeah, that was also just the Hyrule Field theme, but slower.
I know. I don't... Look, go fuck yourselves.
So one murder later, Force headache gets too bad and is apparently a recurring thing whenever she's not fighting. She ends up just curling up on this bench and misses the Mark II doing a flyby over her, which really is just hard confirming my theory that important people will just meet. That's how it happens. Amar and Mirai get to Beltorchka safely. Camille lands the Gundam with only minor, really major, actually, like an entire dock gets taken out. Property damage. Chaman is impressed by Camille's flying. Beltorchka starts yelling at Mirai for putting Amuro in danger. What? Beltorchka, are you good? Yeah, no, Wee-Woo. This is what we in the business like to call a series of red flags. Don't be like this. this is weird. What anime does Beltorchica belong to?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm still. Look, I don't know a whole lot of anime to begin with. Right?
Right.
And it's not this one, which is the one I know the most about. She's not from this one, I can tell you that.
I know she's not this one.
Yeah. So maybe she's the one, she's from the one that Lum's in.
It, maybe. That maybe actually feels like, more right, actually. You might not be wrong. Yeah. I guess it. She does come from a romance anime. You're right, but I don't. Definitely. I don't know if she's like the good path or like the bad one. You know, because typically they make like a bad option with those. I don't know. I don't know what's up with her. Does she kidnap people and keep them in her basement? She kidnap you and keep you in your basement? Is there a basement?
There's definitely a basement.
There's a basement. The Adoomla's got a basement. How? Oh, fucking has a basement. Don't at me. Camille brings Chaemin over, hand in hand, smiling with the kids. Steph and Hayato pull up. Everyone shares kind words, and then a little thing happens that I need to address for a couple of reasons. A, the fact they animated what I'm about to describe at all is one of those little details that's kind of impressive. On the other hand, I'm gonna kill Amuro Ray. So, I've included here a slideshow for Chris's benefit, but... Uh-huh. So, Amuro has Beltorchica on his right shoulder. She is grabbing onto him and weeping into his neck. Camille offers his right hand to shake Amuro's hand, and Amuro begins reaching out with the same hand, which is the shoulder Beltorchica's on. He starts reaching and then notices Beltorchica, puts that hand back, and then reaches his left hand out to awkwardly outside grab Camille's hand and just kind of hold it. He does not shake it, he just holds Camille's hand like that. And then we slow zoom in on Camille smiling and the episode ends. Amuro... What the fuck is that handshake form, my bro?
Yeah.
Chris, I want you to imagine another human person doing that to your hand.
No.
Yeah? Yeah? You're imagining holding out your right hand with the full anticipation of a handshake, and then them just reaching out and holding your hand with their left hand? Not in a handshake way. In a I'm gonna kiss your ring kind of way.
No.
Yeah. That's what Amuro Ray did to Camille Bidon. In front of us.
They animated it.
With multiple frames.
I watched this Vine. I think it was Vine. It was on Twitter. Where a guy is like filming himself and he's got his hand. You know how you have when you're like you're holding something in your hand that you're about to give to somebody.
Yeah.
And he holds it out to his friend. His friend tries to fist bump him and he doesn't say anything. He just shakes his head. And, like, gestures with the hand again, and the friend finally gets the idea and puts his hand out open underneath the other guy's hand, and the guy, like, puts his fist in second guy's hand, and then opens it as if he's gonna drop whatever's in his hand, but there's nothing in his hand, and instead he just very gingerly holds his friend's hand. And his friend, like, you can see his friend's soul leave his body, and he just goes, kind of, like, looks down a little bit, like... And that was very funny, right?
Yeah, that was hilarious. Even in this audio format where you described a Vine, that was still pretty fucking funny, yeah.
But since then, I have been thinking about how unfucking comfortable I would be.
Yeah, I'm going to do that to you now. I hope you'll never take anything from you. It's too late. You're going to forget about it. You're going to forget, and there I will be, waiting. Watching. Probably not watching. But definitely waiting.
No.
So, yeah, end of episode.
We did it.
Yeah. This one this one was weird, but I really liked that entire first, I liked the first act a lot, actually. Like, it was a weird first act before the cha, but I really actually liked all that character interaction.
Yeah, it's a good episode. Yeah. It's weird, but it's good.
I didn't expect 4 to be that pleasant, especially, yeah. I didn't just expect 2 dipshit teenage mech pilots to be this pleasant.
Uh-huh.
More dipshit teenage mech pilots.
Yes, when, please.
With death not on the line right now. Death later. I mean, I guess the threat of death needs to be kind of looming. I guess that's why we're here. Next time on Enemies to Lovers, the Slow Burn Mecha Anime. Mobile Suit Gundam, Zeta. Four and Camille meet again, but circumstance will never allow it. And so their bittersweet fate gives way to the flames of Hong Kong. That's like almost word for word what narrator-san yelled in my ear. None of the other ones are this poetic. What the fuck? Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom Zeta, it's Cinderella 4. The greatest title for an episode I've heard in a hot minute. You will see the tears of time.
Oh, I can't help believe in you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 63 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod. Become a patron at patreon.com/MobileSuitFandom, or you can email us at MobileSuitFandom@gmail.com. Also, if you are new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows, legally, for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, there are always more Gyans.